is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome
to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Hi, I'm your host, Janessa Finley Ford. I am an empowerment coach who guides clients in transmuting their trials into triumph through emotional processing, mindset, mastery, spiritual clarity, and truly mastering the art of being human. So they come to know and believe they are unstoppable. This week, we are going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago with the laws of the universe. So thanks for hanging with me and going on this journey with different guests, with SJ joining, and then the topics and series that I carry out on my own, on my solo episodes. You guys are amazing. If you didn't catch the first episode of this to get all of the laws of the universe, you can go back and snag that episode on my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com. Just click on the Eyes Wide Open page and scroll down. You'll find all of the replays. Also, you can check out the archives at News for the Soul under the Eyes Wide Open page, and you'll find it there as well. Before we dive in, back on the topic of the laws of the universe, I have a story to share. I recently was back home, back at my parents' where I grew up. Really small town, 400 people. I love to explain where I was raised as the land of cows and corn. And I was a farm girl, as many of you already know. So I grew up out in the country. My parents have since moved to this tiny town of 400 people. And I went for a walk, and I was really working my mindset around scarcity and lack. And it is one of my final goals for this year to completely transcend. And I'm so excited about what is in the works of being created as I learn the transcendence of many different topics, lack and scarcity being one of them. And for those of you who have participated in energy work, you know how swiftly the changes come in your thinking as you do the mindset work. As you shift the energetics and the patterns to lock in this new belief that really aligns and vibes with you. And so I'm walking on the edge of town, and pastures are everywhere in this area, right? Because cows, and there's also cornfields everywhere. But I'm breathing through the energy work and the mindset shift and welcoming in, calling in abundance of all kinds. And I looked around. Sometimes when you do the energy work, the sky becomes more vividly blue, the colors become brighter. And so I just looked around to really tap into my senses, what I saw, the breeze I was feeling, the sun on my skin. And I looked to my left, and there was a small pasture. And in this pasture were countless piles of poop. Cow poop was in abundance, let me tell you, folks. And in that moment, I thought, wow, there's so much fertilizer for that pasture. Now, keep in mind, cow poop and pastures are like, if you've been raised in a city, it would be synonymous to a coffee shop on every corner. It's something you see every day in passing and you don't think anything more of it. It's just one of those things that are so natural. Maybe even take it for granted, although I have to admit I did not see much value in cow poop until the other day. So anyway, I see all of this abundance of cow poop for the pasture, which is going to help grow the grass, which the cows are going to eat to produce more poop. And I kind of chuckled about the cycle of life. And then I took pause and I really chuckled at the universe. Out of all of the things that you would want to see in abundance as you shift your mindset and ingrain beliefs that are going to support you in reaching your goals, reflect for a moment and think about the things that you would want to see immediately in abundance, right? Like probably love, kindness, maybe a promotion at work, more prosperity, more wealth, more money, right? Like these are more of the things that clients would come to me to work with to find abundance in those areas. And so I really laughed at the universe because of course the universe is going to show me an abundance of cow poop out of all things. But as I was walking along, enjoying the day, enjoying the weather, enjoying the experience of moving my body, enjoying the freedom that we all have and truly embodying that, I really felt as though seeing this abundance of cow poop was also really, really fitting for my year, because I believe the universe has been showing me time and again how to take poop, how to take cruddy situations and use it to fertilize my dreams, to make it into something that fuels and feeds my soul, my heart, my being, my mind. And that is truly something we all are capable of doing with the right tools, as you always hear me say. So it's truly, how do we want to see? What is our perception of the world around us? I could have quite easily kept walking like I have countless times and been like, there is a hot mess of cow poop over there. That's the norm. No big deal. And not even paid attention to it. Very much in the physical, in the tangible, it is fact, it is before me. But because I took pause for just a moment, I allowed the spiritual in. You know, as we've had the past episode about the daily messages, the little things that are sprinkled into our life, nothing is coincidence, and there's something more to see there. There's something more to understand for each one of us. In taking the moment to allow that to come in and come through, I laughed pretty hard at the universe's sense of humor. And it really also affirms this path I've been on in the way that I have been walking out this journey that I did not necessarily choose, but yet I did choose because I chose to stay in the relationship. And have I learned so much along the way? It's been filled with blessing upon blessing, and if I'm being quite honest, trial upon trial that's turned into triumph. Largely because of the laws of the universe and choosing to see the world through that lens of nature, through the laws that nature provides us. And when we live in alignment with those, really good things start showing up in our lives. So picking up where we left off, let's dive into the law of attraction. And we're going to try to get through the rest of these laws here today. So grab a pen, grab a notebook if you want to take notes, if you want to really lean into applying these and integrating them into your practical living. I have suggestions for every law, not just the cognitive part, but the integration. So we're going to start off with the law of attraction, which I feel like is probably the most well-renowned law. However, I don't feel like the law of attraction does it on its own without the other laws. They all interconnect. Everything is interwoven. And there are a lot of people out there who coach the law of attraction. which I think is amazing and great. But I don't think that the law of attraction standalone is going to attract and create everything that you want without understanding these other principles. And so I think that is truly the value of knowing them all and relying upon all of them. So the law of attraction teaches us that we want to place our focus on the things that we want to create, on the things that we desire, and imagine how it feels, what life would be like if you had it. Essentially, it's telling us that we create in the spiritual realm before it shows up in the physical. And as a part of that, we lean into using our minds and our imaginations, because how do you know what a situation is going to feel like for you if you have not had it before? So imagination is a powerful thing. Think about how active children are in their imagination in their youth. And it's really a lost art that we grow out of. So leveraging your imagination, feeling within your body, within your heart center, how it would feel to have whatever it is that you're wanting to attract to you. Imagining what a day in the life would look like for you. All of this is part of the law of attraction. So to integrate this into your day, and I'll just touch very briefly how the law of energy, that everything has its own vibration, comes into play with this as well. So does cause and effect. So does the law of rhythm. We're going to get into all of these. And hopefully you'll start, because I'm not going to speak directly into how all of them interweave and are more powerful when we build them upon one another. But hopefully you're going to get enough of the information that you'll start to see that on your own. So three things to do to integrate this into your life. First of all, what is it that you want to focus on creating? Pick just one thing. Start simple. Don't try to manifest a whole new lifestyle with the law of attraction if this is your very first introduction to it. And then look at your beliefs. Once you know, are you going to focus on a job promotion, having a child, maybe your dream vacation or trip, to be debt-free, to have more money, whatever it is, you have that intention. Now look at your beliefs. Do you believe that you can have this thing? It's really, really important. If you don't even believe that you can have it, your mindset is not in alignment to attract it. So you have to be really honest with yourself. And the more you come to know yourself, you're going to know when you're in alignment with something, when it seems possible, when it doesn't. And this isn't something to overthink either. So if you're new to this, just ask yourself, do I believe I can have this? And what is the first thing that comes to mind? So then identify what thoughts would you need to think if you already, sorry, what thoughts would you be thinking if you already had what you desired? So then you have to align your thinking in a way where you already had it. So instead of saying, I would like to have my car paid off, you're going to think, my car is paid off. I love this freedom. And then thinking, what would I be doing with that money that I'm making car payments with currently? Now that I no longer have a car payment, what is it that I want to put that money to? And then lastly, feel the feeling. Feel the feeling of that freedom. If you didn't have this car payment, how would your body feel? How would that freedom feel? How would that accomplishment feel for you personally? And then you're going to want to sit in that state of feeling and hold that vibration, right? This is where the energy aspect of it comes in. Financial freedom has a certain vibration, so we want to leverage into that. And that is the law of attraction, intro style, the meat and potatoes, and the how you can integrate it into your life. All right, the next law is the law of inspired action. And oh man, of all the things that I have truly, truly loved embracing this year, the law of inspired action has been so incredible for me personally. If there are any other doers out there in the world, I know you're listening, the achievers, the movers, the shakers, the busybodies, be in action, because if we're not doing something, we're not sure what to do, right? Being is actually doing something. My husband was so powerful in teaching me this. And in fact, he would say, my doing nothing to you is doing something to me. And that was a mindset shift in and of itself for me personally. It didn't actually help me embody the law of inspired action anymore, but it definitely introduced me to it. And I was so grateful when I came to know the law of inspired action to have had that experience, because I saw him live it out so well. Because he truly would do, but it was when he was inspired and he did not force. And I would just be this busybody little tornado that never sat down because I thought that's how life worked. But there's really something to be said for having space to be. And so as a doer, when I'm not feeling inspired, when there aren't the nudges from the universe to take inspired action, I lean into how fun, how playful, how pleasurable can I make this time where I'm not taking inspired action? So there is no boredom. And some days that looks like checking out some different YouTube videos with breathing exercises or listening to different episodes here on News for the Soul to be introduced to different modalities and philosophies. What would be pleasurable and fun when you are not in a state of inspired action? Now, we're going to get into rhythm in a little bit, but this is, again, how they're all interconnected, the ebb and the flow. So the tide comes in, the tide goes out. When I am not in inspired action, I look at that as being when the tide is out. And I'm actually talking about that first rather than the inspired action, because for those of us who are doers, and I do think we attract a lot of likeness to us, so I am leaning into the fact there's probably a lot of you tuned in listening to this, we have to have a level of comfort in that space where we're not taking inspired action. So one of the ways to apply this is that I want you to figure out what is going to be pleasurable, fun, and playful for you when you're not on the grind, when you're not in action, when you're not doing something that is solely pointed at your goal. Because I can't tell you how many people will tell me, when I set the task aside and I have fun, things just show up. Had a conversation with someone just yesterday. And I'm like, yes, this is absolutely the magic of the universal laws at play. Sometimes we just need to set things aside, because if we're not feeling inspired with it, doing things through a state of force is not going to yield what you're striving for. So inspired action is that nudge of knowing that you need to do something, whatever that intuitive little nudge is to take that action. It's not always logical, like we've talked about regarding intuition. And we may not always see how it's going to contribute to the end goal. Now, on the other hand, inspired action can also be a stroke of genius and a moment of brilliance where you can clearly and easily see how it's going to affect and promote the goal at hand and move you forward. So it can come either way. But the one thing about it that I feel is rather true for most people, is that when they get this inspired action, well, it is a choice, it isn't a choice, right? The counterintuitiveness of being human. We know when that inspired action comes in, it's something that we really, really need to be doing, and so we feel as though we don't have a choice. For me personally, my inspired action, it lights me up, so it's also something that I want to be doing. A little less like my intuition, where typically my intuition comes in with things that are so counterintuitive to me. I know I need to do it, even though it would never be the first thing I would want to do. My inspired action tends to be a little bit different than that, where more times than not, I do really want to take those steps forward. You know, some examples of this in my life, as I think one of the best examples, honestly, is being here with you all right now on this platform. I had no idea how to have a radio show when Nicole emailed me, but here I am, and I felt the nudge that I needed to do the thing, and figuring out how to do it fell right into place, and, you know, she's been a great guide for that too. True story. So I want you to, aside from if you're a doer, figure out how you can fill the tide going out with the space when there isn't an inspired action to take, but then to discern the inspired action. I want you to think of that desire, that pull, and I want you to drop your awareness into your heart center. So get out of your head and into your heart and just hold the question, what is one thing I can do to move a step closer? You might not get the answer the first time or the first day, so you may need to continue to practice this throughout the week until that inspired action comes in. But we want to get out of our heads and into our hearts and use all of the intelligence centers that make us human. So that is the law of inspired action. Give yourself permission not to force stuff anymore. And willpower, force, doing a thing to do a thing. Hustle culture is canceled. So the next law is the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. This teaches us that everything in the universe is changing, fluctuating, and evolving. And it gives us the agency to have really big impact with even the smallest effort. So this sets aside the notion that big problems require big effort, big solutions. Have you ever had that moment where you feel like something is so huge and then it's just the tiniest little tweak or the tiniest little action that unravels the whole solution? It's not big, it's not arduous, it's not hard, it's just something simple. And so because things are always in motion and we're always able to transmute energy, we can take one small step of inspired action and deliver some ginormous results. And I love this quote by Nova Lee Wilder that says, just as a seed of a tree holds all of its mighty potential in a tiny little shell, you have the power within you to move mountains. And of course, the mountain moves with one grain of sand at a time. You're not actually going to pick up that huge mountain all at one time and break your back. And of course, the inspired action is our roadmap to get there. And before you know it, you will have found such an amazing solution or have created the goal and desire that you have. And it's all through simplicity and fun and joy and pleasure and little steps. So how do I suggest that you integrate this law of the universe into your daily life? This one is simple and it's fun. It's pleasurable. It's enjoyable. Do the things that make you happy. Do the things that make you happy. The things that light you up, that create pleasure, that feel like play. The universe is really a big playground. And we forever can stay in that childlike awe of exploration and adventure and fun and still be responsible adults who achieve a whole lot. But when we let life drain the pleasure and playfulness out of us, it becomes a grind. And my coach, my mentor, likes to call them pockets of pleasure. So you can start small. You don't have to have a whole day that feels completely irresponsible. Not tending to your children, that's not what I'm talking about here. Maybe it's sneaking in a coffee from your favorite coffee shop when you wouldn't generally take the time to stop after you drop the kids off for school, whatever your schedule, your cases, right? Maybe moving your body and yoga is your thing. And so it's taking 10 minutes when you wake up in the morning to yourself to align your mind, your energy, your body, your soul, and start your day with some simple yoga or meditation. Whatever is your happy, your joy, make space for it. Honor yourself with that. Bring as much happiness into your life every day as you possibly can. I recently was with my brother and he went off to work. I worked from his house for the day and he came home and he's a CPA, right? So there's some extensions and things that are starting to come due and his trade is a bit of a grind right now. It was a long day at the office and I asked him how his day was and he said it was fine. And he asked me how my day was and I lit up and I was like, it was fun. I had so much fun serving clients and doing the things that I do in my business, the marketing and some of the administrative tasks and the financials. I had such a fun day. And so when you start with these little pockets of pleasure, it's going to build and build and build and become a lifestyle where day-to-day life becomes fun, even though maybe you're doing the same tasks that you always do. Your mindset's going to shift where you can create a lot of fun and happiness within those daily tasks. The law of cause and effect is next. I love this one, and I love how we have had the series here about our systems in the world, the legal system, the monetary system, so on and so forth, right? Because these systems are truly set up for us to live at effect of them. They tell us what to do and when to do them and how to do it. And so the law of cause and effect is pretty straightforward. And it speaks to the fact that your actions create an effect every time. And we are most empowered. We are most honoring our agency as humans when we live from the standpoint that we want to be at cause rather than at effect. Now, of course, we live in this world where we are going to be at effect sometimes. This was a challenging one for me to sort out as Travis went through his legal situation because I kept looking for the reason of how I could have created the situation. You know, some people would call this law karma. And I had only known of karma to be, you know, what you do comes back to you directly. And as I explored making more sense of this law, I learned that there's actually 12 different laws to karma. Now, if you want to dig deeper into that, jump over to my website, www.fiercelyradiantsoul.com, and click on the blog and read the blog of the law of cause and effect. And there's a link in there for the 12 laws to karma. So I found it fascinating and clarifying that karma was much more than simply what you do comes back to you directly. So that's where I started to lean into what is my cause in this situation? What is living at cause look like when it's not my personal legal situation? I really discovered that my cause was choosing to stay with my partner and walk by his side through all of it. And that felt really empowering to me versus feeling as though I had done something to create the scenario in the first place. And so a little side tidbit about the laws of cause and effect is, you know, I love radical responsibility for ourselves because there doesn't seem to be enough of it in the world, but everything in balance is the sweet spot, and we can overdo radical responsibility as well. And so sometimes looking to where are we at effect, and is it possible to be at cause? And if it isn't possible to be at cause in that direct and specific situation, so for example, with the justice system charging my significant other with criminal charges, where can I be at charge? Where can I be at cause? And really leaning into your empowerment in that area. Because when you choose, when you have the mindset that you're choosing to be somewhere, go back to my conversation with Tracy from last week. When you choose to be there, you are not a victim. And you are standing in your power. And that's a really good place to be. Now, this law can also be referred to as Newton's third law in the world of physics. So those of you who are really science-oriented, that's another aspect of this that you can dig into to learn more about cause and effect. So how do we apply the law of cause and effect to your life in a simple way, introductory, to get you started? Practical application is so easy, and the more you utilize this law in all the areas of your life, the more and more and more you create your desire without doing it through force or control. Now, again, the law of attraction also teaches us how to create, right? So again, another beating the dead horse a little bit about how you need more than just one law to make the life of your dreams come into fruition easily. Okay, so this is how we're going to apply it. Make a decision in an area of your life that you wouldn't typically do. So maybe if you're going out for lunch with someone, you pick the place or make a suggestion when you would normally say, oh, you choose, I'll eat something anywhere we go. Or time is another easy, you know, example, because throughout the week, we always have a decision to make about what time we're doing something, when we're meeting someone, etc. So if you would typically say, I'm really flexible, I can meet at any time, offer a time that you would like to meet, right? Be at cause. Where would you normally hand over, relinquish your personal desire and state what you want? Super easy, and you'll start having more and more of what you desire show up for you. Let's move on to the law of compensation. Oh, this is a personal favorite of mine too. I adore the law of compensation, but I'm going to be very honest with you. This one really does take faith and trust because you are not going to see it immediately. You're not going to see it tomorrow. You're not going to integrate this into your mindset and know that whatever it is you're applying the law of compensation to, you can access in the physical realm tomorrow. It just doesn't work like that. I wish it did, but it hasn't been my experience. If other people out there, if you've had an experience where the law of compensation has been an immediate deliverable, please come join me on Facebook, private message me, shoot me an email, fiercelyradiantsoul at yahoo.com. I want to hear about it because I'd love to expand my mindset as well. So feel free to be that person who does that for me. However, I'm going to speak about this, of course, through my filter and my experiences. And so the law of compensation teaches us that we will be positively compensated for our actions, for our work, for our effort. There is no loss. Those two things, the law of compensation and there is no loss, I feel as though are common things that come out of my mouth back to back. It is such a vital part of the law of compensation is not viewing life, situations, circumstances as loss. Now, also, if you're going through a traumatic situation and there is loss, loss trauma is very real. Once you clear the trauma, it will be easier for you to step into seeing and believing in this law. Because life does work in cycles. We'll get to that in a bit. And so we know that we're going to receive and we're also going to have things taken. We'll get into that law in a little bit as well. So while that might sound a little bit outlandish to some people right here, it'll all make much more sense in a bit. But the law of compensation tells us that there is no loss. However, we do have to be open to receive because we will often be compensated in ways that are unexpected to us. For instance, we can expect financial abundance to come from, you know, a job promotion or our work, and we're going to be really self-sufficient and bring in enough money to have it all, pay for it all, etc. But maybe the universe wants you to rest right now and not work your little booty off. And so maybe it's actually going to compensate you with having people bring groceries over to you or send you gift cards or have an unexpected check show up in the mail. And so if we get a really fixed mindset about how things are going to come to us, we might actually miss how they're showing up, how we're actually being compensated. But you're always being positively compensated for the work that you do, for the actions that you take, for the good that you put out into the world. Now, as I said, this law does require unwavering faith because we might not always see how things can possibly show up for us. We may not always see how we're going to be compensated. Again, the universe might compensate us in a way that's not expected. And so this one, you know, it can take someone in our corner reminding us of this truth until you've seen it enough times that you know it really is real, especially when you're walking through the harder trials in life. This is an easy law to tend to question. Now, the other thing with the law of compensation that I love to apply this with is time. Oh, time. People feel as though so commonly the clients I work with, that they should have done something sooner in their life. They're not doing it soon enough. They wasted all of this time. There is no loss, right? The things that were experienced during that time, while maybe it wasn't a part of your purpose, your soul mission, it still contributed. You learn something from those experiences. And if you are learning something from those experiences, then it's making what you have to offer to the world that much more potent. And I also believe, because of the law of compensation, that if we do take a, what some people would judge as a detour from our course, then there will be a quantum leap to push you forward back on the original timeline, if you believe in all of that. I don't try to actually make it make sense or make it logical for me personally. I just believe I'm always being compensated and I am where I need to be in the moment that I am there, and everything is working out for good. I feel like that's easier, but I know, you know, especially going back to the Enneagram and my head points, they like things to be logical and rational. They want to figure out how that's possible. So you can explore some different theories around timelines and whatnot if you want to make the law of compensation applying to time specifically make more sense for you. But let's get into a couple ways that we can practice this law this week. So first of all, I want you to ask yourself each day, where can I serve or support others today? Now, the reason why I want you to do this is because the more you take inspired action in service specifically, the more that will be returned to you through compensation. Now, again, because I believe this doesn't come round immediately, you're going to want to maybe keep a journal, keep a log of unexpected things that show up in your life to track the evidence, to break the mindset that might be whispering in your ear that you're not receiving anything. Now, the second way that I want you to apply this is with the mantra, there is only gain. So every situation, every thought, every scenario, where your brain begins to lie to you and tell you that there's a loss, I want you to lean into the mantra, there is only gain, and begin to work with that unconscious programming to build the belief upon the fact that there is no loss. There is no loss. There is never any loss. And that is the law of compensation. The next law is the law of relativity. And it tells us that there is nothing either good or bad in the universe. And I'm also going to talk about the law of polarity in tandem with the law of relativity, because there's an awesome explanation. This is a conversation I have with nearly every client. You guys are getting it here for free. So the law of polarity teaches us that there is an opposing energy for absolutely everything out there. And when it comes to emotions specifically, and we've talked about this here on the show a little bit a few weeks ago, that our negative emotions tend to be the emotions that are uncomfortable to feel. And in our minds, we attach the definition of negative to the fact that it's an undesirable or bad feeling. But the law of relativity teaches us that nothing is either good or bad. Just like I had to lean into this law last year when I believed my husband's situation was a problem and it was really bad, to come to just accept what is and to be in that posture of allowance and acceptance and to go on this journey and to learn every freaking last thing that I can from it. So when we step away from the law, the judgment of good or bad, we are giving ourselves a personal freedom. Now, how does this apply to emotions? As I mentioned, oftentimes we believe that there's a negative emotion, the uncomfortable ones we don't want to feel, and that they are bad. So instead of thinking about it from that space, that it's bad, I want you to think about it from science. There's a positive polarity and a negative polarity, and this is where the law of polarity comes in. There's an opposing energy for everything. So if you're feeling sad, allow yourself to imagine what it would feel like to feel happy. And so our emotions are not good or bad. It's a positive polarity or a negative polarity. And if you want more of the positive polarity emotions, think about them. And when you identify you're having a negative polarity emotion, instead of continuing to sit in that space, think about what would the opposing energy be. And then call that into you through the law of attraction, feel it, envision it, maybe go do something pleasurable and playful, the law of transmutation of energy, right? Apply them all and experience how much better you feel in the end. So for the laws of relativity, and polarity for the sake of ease. I'm going to leave it there, and that is the practical application. Identify what you're feeling, which can be incredibly challenging for the head points in the Enneagram as well as the Enneagram 3. And when you're feeling a negative polarity emotion, envision and embody a positive emotion instead. The law of rhythm is our next. So I mentioned this law of rhythm back when we were talking about the law of inspired action with the tide going in and out, that I think about inspired action in that tide for me personally of not always doing. So we know that there's a rhythm around us. We see it very clearly in the world. Everything is in cycles. We too have cycles. So just like there is daylight and there is darkness at night, just like there is autumn and winter, spring and summer, we have cycles. Not all of the cycle is always a state of abundance, of growth in the sense of, if you look at nature, trees are growing, plants are growing until winter comes, and then there's a pause, right? So it's the same for us too. I'm not talking about stagnation here. I am not justifying stagnation, and I'm not saying stagnation is a part of the cycle. It is not. If you think about the plants in winter, they do not stagnate, they rest. There is a difference. If you feel into those two energies, you're going to feel a very different vibration. So we are not making a case for stagnation. I just want to make that abundantly clear here. But we want to honor our own rhythms and our own cycles because we all have them. And the thing about them is that some are more comfortable for us than others. If you think about the seasons, there's probably at least one season you like less than others. For me, it's winter. Unless there is a board strapped to my feet and I'm going down a mountain or I'm out snowshoeing or doing something fun in snow, I don't really care for it to be cold. I don't really enjoy the cold for the sake of cold weather. Cold weather without snow is boring, mundane, and pointless to me personally, not my fave. Now, spring, summer, and autumn, I can really jive with. And I find that to be true in my personal season and cycle as well. When the tide goes out, when there is the pause, the rest, I've already talked about this, right? It's challenging for me. But when I learned my own rhythm of the tide comes in, usually for a certain period of time, and then the tide goes out and there's pause and there's rest, it's allowed me to lean into absolute faith and trust that the next inspired action is going to come because I am in my cycle. I am in my rhythm of creation and making. And it has allowed me to become much cozier and friends with the fact that sometimes I do require pause. Sometimes I do require rest. So this is the power of learning our own personal rhythms, because we stop working against ourselves, we stop fighting against ourselves, and we're not so annoyed and irritated with ourselves when we're in a natural part of our cycle. We just accept it all. We accept all of ourselves and all of being human. So the first thing, practical application that I would like you to do with this is simply identify, when are you most inspired throughout your day? When is it easiest for you to get things done? Is it early in the morning? Is it at night? Is it sometime in late afternoon? And then allow yourself to honor that flow. So do the biggest priorities that you have for the day during that time when you're in your natural rhythm. Now, to go deeper into this, this is our focus for the month of September in Stronger Together. So all of our coaching calls within Stronger Together are going to focus on this, including working the energetics to allow people to embody and identify their personal rhythm and be in their personal power through owning their own cycle. Now, you can join the Stronger Together community by visiting my website, or SJ's website, www.crystallinecurrents.com. And if you have questions, reach out to me. I would be so happy to answer them. So this moves us into our last law. We are making it through today, landing the plane. The last law is the law of giving and receiving. You may also see this as the law of gender, which I feel personally is really not a good descriptive of this, because giving and receiving comes through masculine and feminine energies. And masculine and feminine energies have absolutely nothing to do with gender. We talked about that here before, especially with talking about the systems, the political system, the voting, the Republican and Democratic parties, and how you see the masculine and feminine energy show up in those two parties so distinctly. So giving and receiving is that giving and receiving is in a cycle. And we have to be in balance. Now, what masculine and feminine energy or giving and receiving energy looks like for each person might not be a 50-50 split. Every person's balance is different. It is coming into your own balance with these characteristics. The masculine energy of giving is also the energy of protection, doing, assertiveness, boundaries, confidence, and logic. And the feminine energy of receiving is also comes with passiveness, intuitiveness, collaboration, creativity, kindness, and gentleness. So to practically apply this, what is easier for you, giving or receiving? For all of this, there is one that is much easier, being the doer, that masculine energy. Giving was easier for me. I had to really cultivate my feminine energy in receiving. So whichever is easiest for you, I want you to do the opposite. I want you to intentionally do the opposite. If it's easier for you to give, I want you to receive everything that's offered to you. Everything for a week. Everything that's offered to you. Even if you feel like you don't need it. And observe the fact that when someone offers you something, your first inclination is going to be resistive. And you're going to want to decline it. I want you to accept it with a very kind thank you. Now, at the opposite, if it is easiest for you to receive, I want you to focus on giving something intentionally every day. Maybe it's a dollar. Maybe you walk around your neighborhood and you see kids out playing and you just want to give them a dollar just for being them. Or maybe it is an act of kindness that you wouldn't typically do. Give for the sake of giving with no attachment that the person you give it to is going to return anything to you. Trust me, the law of compensation and the universe will take care of it and handle it and bring it all back full circle. So those are our laws of the universe, all 12 of them, our laws of nature. We as humans are nature. Nature is not just the trees and the grass and the flowers and the animals outside. We too are nature. And when we align with nature, life becomes so much easier. So I hope these laws will help you move along your path. In order to take them a step further, to integrate them more deeply, I have an offer for the month of September. It's again through that app called Voxer, the walkie-talkie app, where we are leaning heavily into our mindset. People are able to message me each day with what they're struggling with, where they're feeling stuck or stagnant, and I am going to go in and listen to those messages, and I am going to leverage the mindset, which all comes full circle with the laws of the universe, to help people integrate the mindset that's really going to move them forward. Now, additionally, for people who are our members of Stronger Together, I will also be coaching on how to utilize the energy work and resources within Stronger Together, the healing videos. That platform is huge and there's a ton of options. So if you're also in Stronger Together, not only are you going to get the mindset coaching through Voxer, but you're also going to have at your disposal the energetics to move yourself along even more quickly. If you are interested in joining that offer, it is a $66 in Investment is the word I'm going for. And you can simply shoot me an email or reach out to me on any social media platforms. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My email is fiercelyradiantsoul@yahoo.com. All right. So next week, SJ is joining me, and we're going to go deeper into rhythm and flow here on Eyes Wide Open. And as you know, in closing, until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.